Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com. Here we are once again, continuing in our study of Jeremiah 51. Today we're going to cover verses 12 through 14. I'll read the three verses first, and then we'll go into the introduction as usual, and then take each verse one at a time, and follow that with a conclusion. So let's begin by starting at verse 12 and going through verse 14. We read, "Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord hath both devised and done that which he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. The Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, Surely I will fill thee with men, as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee." In these verses of Jeremiah 51, verses 12 through 14, we are first told to set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon, make the watch strong, set up the watchmen, prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has both devised and done that which he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. What does this all mean for us today? Then we are told, O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. Who is it that dwells upon many waters? And why is she said to be abundant in treasures? And why is her end come? Finally, we are told, the Lord of hosts has sworn by himself, saying, Surely I will fill thee, that is Babylon, with men, as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. Just who are these men that the Lord fills Babylon with, as with caterpillars? And why does he say that he will fill Babylon with men, as with caterpillars? What exactly do these caterpillars represent? And why are these men who are sent to fill Babylon said to lift up a shout against her? What does this shout represent? Now, as we look into the answers of these questions, may our Lord Jesus Christ bless the study to the hearts, minds, and then our actions of his people. Amen. Let's take a look at verse 12. Verse 12, once again, it reads, "Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. For the Lord has both devised and done that which he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon." In this verse we first read, "Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon." Here the word translated as standard can be translated as banner, so that our verse reads, "Set up a banner upon the walls of Babylon." Now, we had previously learned of this word banner back in Jeremiah 50, verse 2, which reads, "Declare ye among the nations and publish, set up a standard," that's the same words in our verse, and it can be translated as banner. So declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a banner publish and conceal not. Say, Babylon is taken, Bel is confounded, Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded, her images are broken in pieces. Here, the idea of setting up a banner is to bring the message that Babylon, that is the world, including all the churches, is taken ever since May 21, 2011, as there is now no more eternal salvation possible for anyone not already saved. And you can click on the link, Jeremiah 52, to refresh your memory on that information. And we are to bring this message of judgment by setting up banners as rallying points in getting out the message. And we can use headings on our banners, such as, for instance, Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. No more eternal salvation possible. All the billions of people who were not eternally saved in Jesus Christ by May 21, 2011 are those and all those conceived and born after that date are now certain to perish on the soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Or we might use the heading, Babylon, that is this world, including all the churches, is taken. No more eternal salvation possible. Billions of people in the world and all who did not obey Christ to leave all churches are now certain to perish on the soon to come last day. Or we could simply use the heading, Babylon, that is this world, including all the churches, is fallen. No more eternal salvation possible. Then we can pass out these banners as tracts and direct people to a website that further explains the headings of the banners. Or we can set up a banner in some location and pass out tracts which help explain the banner. Or we can advertise our banners in various media and from there direct people to where they can get more information on the meaning of our banners. Indeed, there are many ways in which we can successfully set up a banner. But the main thing is that we do set up a banner. That is, we are to get out the message that Babylon, the world, including all the churches, is taken because eternal salvation ended on May 21, 2011. And we are to explain what this means, namely that no one conceived and then born after May 21, 2011 is going to be eternally saved, and all those who were not eternally saved by May 21, 2011, as well as all those who were conceived after May 21, 2011, are certain to perish relatively soon. So billions of people are relatively soon to be destroyed forever in the fires of annihilation due to the wrath of Yahweh. Now, in our verse, we are told to set up a banner upon the walls of Babylon. Why are we told to set up a banner, that is, declare judgment against Babylon, upon the walls of Babylon? In the Bible, walls have to do with salvation. For instance, we read in Isaiah 26:1, In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. And again, we read in Isaiah 60, verse 18, Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. We can understand why walls can be equated to salvation, because walls are what save the people of God from their enemies. Jerusalem, for instance, was surrounded with walls because the walls served to protect or save Yahweh's people from their enemies. So having walls was very beneficial. But having walls in the spiritual sense means that we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, for it is salvation in Jesus Christ that saves us from our enemy, namely Satan and death. We can say then that our wall is Jesus Christ. But if our wall is Jesus Christ, then the wall of Babylon, which had once permitted those certain chosen people of Babylon to be protected or saved from Satan and death, must also be Jesus Christ. And to set up a banner on the walls of Babylon is to set up a banner on Jesus Christ. And to set up a banner on Jesus Christ is to declare that he who once could save people from the throes of Satan and death is no longer doing so in Babylon. Therefore, the wall of Babylon that normally protects and saves people of Babylon is no longer doing so. It is as if the wall of Babylon has been cast down, and so when we are told to set up a banner on the walls of Babylon, it is one and the same as saying the walls have come down, as there is now no more salvation or protection possible by the walls. The walls, Jesus Christ, are no longer protecting or saving anyone out of Babylon. Hence, we read the following about the walls of Babylon. In Jeremiah 15, shout against her round about. She hath given her hand, her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance upon her as she has done, do unto her. And again, we read in Jeremiah 51, verse 44, and I will punish Bel in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he has swallowed up. And the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall, which can be translated, has fallen. And we read in Jeremiah 51:58, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the broad walls of Babylon shall be, and that shall be can be translated have been, so the broad walls of Babylon have been utterly broken. And her high gates shall be burned with fire, and the people shall labor in vain, and the folk in the fire, and they shall be weary. So in summary, to set up a banner upon the walls of Babylon that declares eternal salvation to have ended on May 21, 2011, is one and the same as saying that the walls of Babylon have fallen, because the walls represent Jesus Christ, and he has fallen in the sense that he is no longer saving anyone ever since May 21, 2011. Now, our verse continues, and it says, make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. Here it seems obvious that the way to make the watch strong, we are told, is to set up the watchmen and to prepare the ambushes. To set up the watchmen means that we are to educate more and more of the elect through the scriptures, that they should be involved in getting out the message to the world and the churches that eternal salvation came to an end on May 21, 2011. And as more and more of the elect get set up to bring this judgment message, we are setting up the watchmen and we are making the watch strong. But we are also making the watch strong, we are told, by preparing the ambushes. To prepare the ambushes means that we prepare to strike with the message of judgment at a pre-planned place and time. For instance, let's say that we pre-plan on passing out flyers to all the churches in our area on this Saturday. And we first pray over all this and then print up the flyers we will need for the task. By doing this, you see, we have set up an ambush. And as we plan on more and more operations such as this, we are setting up ambushes. And we are making the watch strong. So the way we make the watch strong is by setting up the watchmen, by recruiting the elect to obey our Lord, to get out the message of judgment, and by preparing the ambushes, by pre-planning various operations to get out the message of judgment against the world and all the churches. Now, we are given the reason as to why we are to make the watch strong by setting up the watchmen and preparing the ambushes. We read, "For Yahweh has both devised and done that which he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon." In other words, Yahweh has both purposed and done that which he spoke against the inhabitants of Babylon. Namely, he has eliminated any hope of their eternal salvation ever since May 21, 2011. And so now, it is time for the elect to make the watch strong by setting up the watchmen, that is the elect, to proclaim what Yahweh has done and by preparing the ambushes through the planning and preparations of various operations that get out the message of judgment against the world, including all the churches. Well, let's move on to verse 13 of Jeremiah 51. Verse 13. There we read, "O thou that dwellest upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness." Here we first read, "O thou," that is Babylon, "that dwellest upon many waters." This immediately reminds us of the great whore of Revelation 17, who sits upon many waters. We read in Revelation 17, verse 1, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come here, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters." So far then, we have been told that Babylon dwells upon many waters, and the great whore sits upon many waters. Could it be that because both Babylon and the great whore are revealed to be upon many waters, that Babylon and the great whore are one and the same? Indeed, this is so, for we further read of the great whore in Revelation 17:5, which states, "And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth." So the great whore is here designated as Babylon the Great, which clearly identifies the great whore with Babylon. Now, if we can discover who the great whore is, then we will know who Babylon that dwells upon many waters is referring to in our verse of Jeremiah 51:13. And when we carefully study the great whore in Revelation 17, we find that she is the corporate church, which includes all the Christian churches worldwide. And you can click on the link, Revelation 17, to get this information. So, if the great whore is Babylon, as we have learned, and the great whore is all the Christian churches, as we have learned, then Babylon is all the Christian churches as well. So when we read in our verse, "O thou," that is Babylon, "that dwells upon many waters," we might translate this like this: O thou, that is the Christian churches worldwide, that dwells upon many waters. Now, what does it mean that Babylon, the whore, the great whore, or all the churches, dwells upon many waters? We find the answer to this in Revelation 17, where we read in verse 15, And he says unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sits, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So here we find that the waters on which Babylon, that is the great whore, or all the churches, sits upon symbolize peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the word tongues can be translated as languages. And that she sits or dwells upon them means that she rules over them. And notice that there are four categories mentioned, namely peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. These four categories emphasize that Babylon's rule is over the peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues worldwide, as the number four symbolizes worldwide or universality. And you can click on the link to see this. So now, when we read our verse, which states, O thou, that is Babylon, that dwells upon many waters, we are being told that Babylon, which represents the great whore, who is all the Christian churches worldwide, dwells upon, that is, rules over, peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues or languages all over the world. This rule makes perfect sense when we see Babylon as being all the Christian churches. For we can see how now, her now ruling over peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues throughout the world. In fact, there are about 2 billion people in the world that identify with a Christian church. And the kingdom of Satan, through the churches, rules over them in the sense that this is where they are brainwashed to believe whatever they believe. Now we read that Babylon, that is all the churches, who dwells upon many waters, that is, who rules over peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues worldwide, is abundant, abundant in treasures. She is not necessarily abundant in treasures in the sense of being materially rich, although in some churches this is certainly the case, but she is spiritually abundant in treasures, as all the churches are filled with the Bible. Even though the churches misinterpret and disobey the Bible in many areas, nevertheless, they possess the Bible in which all the spiritual riches can be found. And they not only have one Bible, but they have many Bibles, free for the taking. Yes, Bibles are everywhere, and for this reason, all the churches are abundant in spiritual treasures, even though they have taken these spiritual treasures and made them impure by bending the truths of the Holy Scriptures to their own destruction. Finally, we are told that thine, that is Babylon's end, is come. Thine end is come. And the measure of thy covetousness. Literally it reads, thine, that is Babylon's end, is come, the measure of thy unjust gain. In other words, we are being told that Babylon's, that is the world, including all churches, end is come. And this is the result of her unjust, or we could say, dishonest gain. The world and the churches, that is Babylon, did not gain by telling the truth, but they gained by deception. Insofar as the churches are concerned, they twisted the truths of the Bible to be more tasteful to the hearers, and the result was that they attracted many more people to come into the church with their tithes and riches. Many of them taught that Christ died for everyone, and it was now up to the individual to make a decision for Christ. This attracted the multitudes because it put salvation in the hands of the people. And all they had to do was make a decision for Christ, and then they were saved. This lie was much better than preaching the truth, which says salvation is entirely of God and that no one can choose Christ, but Christ must choose them. And furthermore, he only chooses a remnant who were predestined from before the foundation of the world. Yes, this truth turned many people off to the gospel, but the lie brought in multitudes of people, and so the lie prevailed in many of the churches as they profited greatly by this dishonest gain. There are other examples where the churches twisted the word of God, of course, to make the church more attractive to the multitudes. For instance, although the scriptures are against divorce and remarriage as long as the spouse is still living, the churches twisted the scriptures to make them say that there are certain reasons, such as adultery, whereby divorce and remarriage is allowed. And although the scriptures are against a woman teaching or usurping authority over a man, 1 Timothy 2 verse 12, and also the qualification for being an elder or pastor is that one be a man of one wife, 1 Timothy 3 2, the churches twisted the scriptures to make them say that a woman can teach men in a Sunday school class or Bible study, and in some cases that a woman can even be a pastor or elder. All of this was to make the churches more tasteful to the world so that more and more people would come into the church and make the churches wealthy. And so through this process of twisting the scriptures in this doctrine and that doctrine to make them more tasteful to the world, the churches were made more attractive to the world, and this resulted in many more people coming into the churches. But this was due to unjust or dishonest gain, which has resulted in Yahweh bringing his judgment against all the churches, that is against Babylon, ever since May 21, 1988, and again beginning on May 21, 2011. But what does Yahweh mean that Babylon's end is come? What does he mean? Well, with the end of eternal salvation having come on May 21, 2011, Babylon's end is come, because now none of them can be eternally saved, which means they are all now certain to perish on the relatively soon to come last day. This is true for all the unsaved in the world, as well as true for all those who have remained in the churches, who did not obey our Lord to depart out. Moving on to the last verse that we will cover in this study, verse 14. It reads, "The Lord of hosts hath sworn by himself, saying, Surely I will fill thee with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee." In this verse we first read, the Lord of hosts has sworn by himself. The word Lord here is the word Yahweh, and the phrase by himself is literally translated in his soul. So our verse is better translated, Yahweh of hosts has sworn in his soul. And when Yahweh swears to something, you know that it will absolutely come to pass. Now, what Yahweh swore to, saying, we read, is that, surely I, that is Yahweh, will fill thee, that is Babylon, with men, as with caterpillars. Here the word saying is not in the Hebrew, but the word that is. So our verse is better translated, Yahweh of hosts has sworn in his soul that surely I, that is Yahweh, will fill thee, that is Babylon, with men as with caterpillars. Caterpillars are the larval stage of the locust reproduction cycle. And in that Yahweh will fill Babylon with men as with caterpillars, let us know that this filling of Babylon with men has to do with bringing judgment against Babylon, since caterpillars and locusts have to do with judgment. For instance, we read in the following, when Yahweh brought judgment against his own people. In Joel 1, verse 1 through 4, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, the son of Pethuel. Hear this, you old men, and give ear, all you inhabitants of the earth. Hath this been in your days, or even in the days of your fathers? Tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. That which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten, and that which the locust has left, has the canker worm eaten, and that which the canker worm hath left, has the caterpillar eaten. And again we read in Nahum 3, verse 15, there shall the fire devour thee, the sword shall cut thee off, it shall eat thee up like the canker worm. That's the same word actually translated in our verse as caterpillar. Make thyself many as the canker worm, that is caterpillar. Make thyself many as the locusts. And we could read several other verses of similar nature. But leave it to say that the presence of the caterpillar in the Bible represents judgment in the same way that locusts represent judgment. And so when our verse says that Yahweh will fill Babylon with men as with caterpillars, it means that Yahweh will fill Babylon with men to bring judgment against Babylon. And even as the caterpillar destroys the produce or the food supply, so also will the men who are sent to fill Babylon destroy the spiritual food supply that brings eternal salvation, as they proclaim the end to eternal salvation ever since May 21, 2011. These men who are now sent to fill Babylon, that is this world, including all churches, with the message of judgment, we know to be us, the elect. And since we have a long ways to go to fill this world and all the churches with the message of judgment, namely that eternal salvation is no longer possible, so that all who were not saved by May 21, 2011, and all those conceived and born after May 21, 2011, will soon perish on the last day of judgment day that we are now in. We must now focus our abilities and resources, giving our last bit of strength to the calling at hand. This is the last thing that we are called to do in this life before we are translated into glory. And we want to hear these words when the end comes. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25, 23. Now we are told that these men, that is the elect that Yahweh sends to fill Babylon, as with caterpillars, shall lift up a shout against thee, that is against Babylon. Literally it reads, they, okay, that's referring to the elect, respond as a witness against you, that is against Babylon, shouting. It reads, they, that's the elect, respond as a witness against you, shouting. This shouting, of course, is the elect shouting by voice or by the written word that Babylon is taken or Babylon is fallen? There is no longer any possibility of anyone becoming eternally saved ever since May 21, 2011. Therefore, all the people of Babylon, the people of this world, and all the people still in the churches are now certain to perish with no possibility of eternal life on the soon-to-come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Yes, Babylon is taken. Babylon is fallen. In conclusion, we were first told to set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon, and we learned that this means to set up a banner upon Christ, who is the Word, which declares that He is no longer eternally saving anyone ever since Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. There are many ways by which a banner as such can be set up throughout the world, such as on flyers, tracts, newspapers, billboards, cars, advertisements in all the various media, including the internet, and only our imagination can limit the extent to which we set up a banner. But the most important thing is that we do set up a banner in obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we were told to make the watch strong by setting up watchmen and preparing the ambushes. We set up the watchmen by recruiting more and more of the elect to watch what the Word is now teaching us, which is to make a stand, to begin helping in some way to get out the message of no more eternal salvation. And we prepare the ambushes by pre-planning operations for getting out the message of no more eternal salvation, both to the world, including all the churches. Next, we were told, O thou that dwelleth upon many waters, abundant in treasures, thine end is come, and the measure of thy covetousness. And we learned that one who dwells upon many waters is Babylon, which is the great harlot, which are all the Christian churches worldwide. And we found that all the Christian churches are abundant in treasures because they at least possess all the spiritual treasures found in the Word of God, the Bible, even though they have taken these treasures and abused them to get more people into the churches by twisting the truth into a lie. Further, we learn that Babylon's, that is the world's and all the churches, end is come, because with the end to eternal salvation, it is now guaranteed that all the unsaved in the world and all those who have remained in the churches will perish on the soon-to-come last day of the Day of Judgment that we are now in. Finally, we were told, Yahweh of hosts has sworn by Himself, saying, surely I will fill thee, Babylon, with men as with caterpillars, and they shall lift up a shout against thee. Here we learn that the men that Yahweh fills Babylon with are the elect, and they come as with caterpillars because they come in judgment, which is what the caterpillar symbolizes in the Bible. And when we are told that these men, the elect, lift up a shout against Babylon, it means that they shout out such words as, Babylon, the world including all churches, is taken, and Babylon is fallen. There is now no more possibility for anyone else who was not eternally saved by May 21, 2011 to become eternally saved. Therefore, all the billions of people not saved by May 21, 2011, and all the multitudes of children who were conceived and born after May 21, 2011 are guaranteed to perish forever on the relatively soon to come last day of Judgment Day that we are now in. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh, through our Lord Jesus Christ, bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace.